and the roll is called up yonder. My brother, Raul Ferris.
Thank you.
Preach the word.
Amen. May the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior be with each and every one of us today as His body. As His body which He purchased with the blood, His blood, sealing us for the redemption, saving us for the day when we know that His Father will send Him with His angels to return. And on that day, those of us who have remained faithful unto death, will be by His side forever. But we, as the body of Christ, know that the Lord also preaches on this very topic, the topic of perishing. It says there that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that those who do not believe, according to that verse, will perish. And so as His body, as we gather this evening, gather as brothers and sisters in Christ to strengthen one another, it's because just as God didn't want anyone to perish, neither do we. So we gather here together to worship our Lord, to praise Him, to sing to Him, to pray to Him, to love Him, to hold Him dear, to guard Him in our hearts so we don't sin against Him. But then, it's to go out. And so, Charlie, I also am saddened because I'm used to seeing a lot more faces. I want to give you the love that was sent to me by Brittany and Garrett English. I was on the phone with them on my way up here, and they said, please tell them that I love them dearly. And so I send them their love. Let's go to our Father in prayer. I'd like to pray for those that are suffering from this body here. Almighty Savior, I've come to preach the message of salvation, the truth, to Your people. And Your people are suffering here with illness. I pray, God Almighty, that You will strengthen them mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. They've done so much, Father God, for the community of Natalia, reaching out into the surrounding other towns to be the light that You have called them to be. They've done so much to assist people in this community and abroad, and to assist brethren all over the world. And so, Father God, I pray that You will strengthen them. I pray, dear Lord, that You will return them to their strength, and the ailments that they are having right now will be relieved. These things I pray, this blessing upon them in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Part-time workers. Have you ever been a part-time worker? You ever had a full-time job but did something part-time? Maybe it was necessary. Maybe it was just to pass the time. I've actually met people that have gotten jobs and I said, well, why do you have this job? Well, I was bored. I needed something to do. All right. But I've also met some people that have worked part-time jobs because they needed it. They needed to provide for their families. I remember when I worked in Hawaii, there in Kaneohe Bay Marine Corps Base, the Kailua Church of Christ, there'd be very many members of the Lord's Church there that they worked many jobs because they had to provide for their families. It was very difficult to live there economically. But sometimes we have this attitude as, this is my part-time job, so it's not as important as my full-time job. And so when we have that attitude, we really don't put in 100% of our effort into our part-time job. I'm not saying everybody does this, but you can see where it would be easy to feel that way. I'm really feeling kind of sluggish today. Oh, this is my part-time job. I'm not going to give it 100% because if I give it 100%, then for my full-time job, I'll be too tired. And you can see how you can easily get into that, right? And so, how about that person that they're always on the go? Like, they seem like the Energizer Bunny. They don't seem to lose any energy at all. Yeah. Even our Lord and Savior ran out of energy, right? Everybody hits that wall. Everybody gets tired. I don't know about being so tired that you can fall asleep in the back of a boat in the middle of a tsunami. That's the right word used there. Seismos is the word that is used there to indicate the storm that the disciples were in while Jesus was sleeping in the boat. I don't know how tired you have to be to sleep through something like that, but was our Savior a part-time Messiah? Was He a part-time anointed one? Aren't we told to imitate Christ? Doesn't Paul encourage the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, to imitate Christ? Doesn't he say, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Was Christ a part-time worker for God? How about when Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus in the 5th chapter of Ephesians and he tells the church there that they are to imitate God? Is our God, our King, our Father, the Creator of all things, is He a part-time daddy? Is He a part-time father? Is He a part-time creator? Is He part-time King? Today's sermon, I want to talk to you today about the dangers of being a part-time Christian in 2021. Because 2020 was not a bad year. 2020, I witnessed many people be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And in 2021, my prayer is Maranatha, which is what the early church would say all the time, which in Greek means Lord come soon or Lord come quickly. The idea is that they were waiting for Jesus to return at any moment. And at any moment, isn't that what we are eagerly looking forward to? But will part-time Christians be in heaven? Will part-time Christianity get me there? Will part-time Christianity get you there? Will part-time Christianity get anybody there? When John, the Apostle John, is writing to the church in Revelation chapter 2 and he is speaking to the church there, does he say, be faithful part-time unto death? No. He just says, be faithful unto death and you shall receive the crown of life. My friends, my brethren, those of us, we're called to a full-time work. We're called to imitate Christ. We're called to imitate God. We've been made right. We've been justified. We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed and sealed. But let me tell you something beautiful about being in the body of Christ. Before I was in Christ, I had no purpose. Before I was in Christ, I had no true reason. Before I was in Christ, I was filled with all sorts of vanities. And so when I was baptized into Christ, not only was I forgiven, not only was I washed clean of my sins, not only was I found holy in the eyes of God, but now I've been given a purpose, which is one of the reasons why the church, only church, one body, Ephesians chapter 4, only one, that's why when you are in Christ, you now have a purpose. And that purpose is not a part-time purpose. Part-time Christianity has gotten us in the fix we are in this world. In this world, the body of Christ is universal. It's everywhere. We have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ all over this universe, all over this world, that are preaching and teaching the truth as Jesus Christ has called us to. They are not part-time workers. They are full-time workers. They're the same workers as you and I. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, Jesus Christ tells us about the parable of the 11th hour. Let me ask you a question. Does any of those workers that were called by the owner of the vineyard, were any of them called to be part-time workers. And at the end of that, when Jesus Christ says in His teaching that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, He pays them all the same, does He not? And so there are some, as Charlie stated earlier, he is 70 plus years of age. There are some that have been in Christ as long as he has, maybe even longer. There are some that have recently been brought into Christ. But according to that vineyard parable that Jesus tells, every single one of them was paid the same. But were they called to be a part-time worker in the vineyard? There's no such verbiage. It was that they were called to be a worker in the vineyard. My question for us today as the church here in Natalia, and the church everywhere, possibly our brothers and sisters in Christ that are listening via Facebook Live here, that may be hearing in other places of the nation. The question that I ask us is part-time Christianity working for us? Is part-time Christianity working for you? Do you feel good about that? Do you feel good coming here on Sundays, coming here on Wednesdays, coming to some sort of fellowship, going over to a brother and sister in Christ's house and feeling good that you just gave it your menial best? Do you feel good about that? Let me tell you what ends up happening, because it happens to me, is I don't hang out with full-time Christians. Why? Because full-time Christians are going to call me out on my part-time Christianity. They're not going to call me out from the pulpit. They're not going to point their finger at me and say, "Man, dude, you need to pull it together." Possibly they should. I wish they would have when I was a lot younger. But they're going to do it with their actions. Does not Jesus Christ in the 7th chapter of Matthew regarding false prophets warn us about their fruits? He says that we will know them by their fruits, by the fruits that they bear, what they are producing. If I'm a part-time Christian, you're going to know it. Even if I'm here on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesdays. Even if I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesdays, and I make it to every other type of cool function that the body of Christ joins together for. Maybe a day in the park, maybe a fishing trip, maybe a just because gathering, maybe a New Year's celebration at someone's house, whatever it may be. I will be called out. Why? Because my fruit that I am not bearing is going to be visible to you. Is part-time Christianity working for you? Was it working for the five virgins in Matthew chapter 25? I'll encourage you to open your Bibles there. We'll be camping out in that portion of Scripture today. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus Christ begins to tell how things are going to be when the end is. And He begins to tell in a series of parables, a series of teachings that starts several verses in the 24th chapter there. But in Matthew chapter 25, we have five part-time virgins and five full-time. And I mean by this is I have five people that are fully invested and five that are not fully invested. As you read those first 14 verses of Matthew chapter 25, you're going to see that five women were prepared. Five women were prepared and five were not prepared. There was a total of 10 virgins. There was one groom. And when the groom comes, there are five that are ready and five that are not. Did part-time preparation do them well? It does not end that way, does it? Because there, as I read along with you, I begin to read because it says there, afterward, the other virgins came also, verse number 11, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." They're pounding on the door, folks. The door is closed. You can almost hear the whimpering and the whining and the begging in their voices if you allow yourself to read it with emotion. They didn't get to see the groom. They are locked out of the festivities. They're knocking on the door. You think that they're panicking? They're panicking. You'd be panicking. I would be panicking. Because I heard the preacher say about it Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and during Bible class that I've got to be ready. I've been telling myself every year, this is my year. This is my time. Right now I'm ready to rock and fire. It's not going to get any better than this. This is the year that I do, and I make a list of the things that I'm going to do. And every single year, I say it again. I've got five virgins that said it to themselves. And look on what side of the gates they're on. Hear their cry. Hear their plea. Because Jesus Christ is telling this story to us so that tonight you will leave here a full-time Christian. That tonight you will say, I'm tired of not having enough oil in my lamp. I'm ready to do what I need to do. And no more excuses. And it starts with at the end of this sermon, or even before it, praise God, bring forth whatever you need. I will pause so that you can be found right before the eyes of the Lord. You come forward and you repent. Or you come forward and you beg the shepherds here of this Lord's body for assistance in your walk. The Bible says, the good Lord says in the Proverbs teaching of Solomon, that iron sharpens iron. Some of us are trying to be sharpened with brass. It's not going to work that way. Here, in this body here, or wherever our brethren may be tonight, you've got to step forward, and you've got to step up, and you've got to be sharp, or you're going to fall. And you're going to whimper, and you're going to whine, and you're going to knock, and you're going to hear what they heard. Continue to follow along with me. But he, being Jesus, he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. How sad. How sad to hear those words. Watch therefore. For you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Did Jesus Christ not use those words already? Remember His Sermon on the Mount? Beautiful sermon that starts with that word blessed. Blessed actually means approved of by God. You are approved of by God. Are we going to be approved of by God with part-time Christianity? Are we going to be approved of by God living a life that is Christ-like when my brother Jesse's watching me? Is that when I need to do it? Oh yeah, I need to do it. I need to be an example to him. Does he need to be an example to me? But I need to be a Christian at all hours, at all times. Notice what Jesus Christ even said about this, about not knowing someone, not being aware. He says, not everyone, chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I would encourage you to circle that to Bible verse 7:21 in your Bible, and I would encourage you to shoot an arrow over to chapter 5, where it begins in chapter 5, and the Lord begins to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I would encourage you to take that word blessed, and I would encourage you to write next to it, approved of by God. Because if you want to be approved of by God, you're going to have to be poor in spirit. And continue with that mindset all the way through the next 12 verses so that you can see what it is that you must do to be approved of by God. Because here, there is the person that does the will of the Father in heaven is the person that shall enter in. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and in your name done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. What did the virgins hear? I don't know you. What did these individuals hear? I never knew you. Depart from me, he says, you who practice lawlessness. Church, they did a lot of things in the name of the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that? These that are pounding on the door, These five virgins, these five part-timers that were not fully invested in waiting on the groom. Here, they may have done wonderful things in the name of the Lord. They may have cast out demons in His name. They may have prophesied in His name. They may have done many wonders in His name. And Jesus Christ says, I don't know you. How is 2020 for you? Oh, forget the virus for a second. Everybody's stuck in the same mess. I'm talking about how was your productiveness for the kingdom of God. I'd want you to put yourself on the scale and see where you're being found wanting before the Lord puts you on the scale. I need to do this as well, church. This is not a, hey, Raul Ferris is preaching a sermon today. This is a, hey, Raul, you need to get your act together sermon today. But since Raul is a member of the Lord's church, a member of the body of church, of the body just like you are, then what I say I hear, and what you say I hear, and what we say together we hear together. And we either do something together or we don't. Jesus Christ would end this chapter, Matthew chapter 7, with these words. He would say, the wise man is he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Are you a doer of the Word of God or are you not? It's not a put these words into practice when it's good. Put these words into practice when your mother-in-law's over, your father-in-law's over. I don't get to be a preacher of the gospel because my father is, or because my father-in-law is, or I'm standing here in Natalia where my father-in-law used to preach. I better preach the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's not the reason. The reason is because I love God, and I've been called to imitate God. I've been called to imitate Christ, and so have you. And so when we focus on this, it's have I been doing it part-time or have I been doing it full-time? Have I been living the life I should or have I been not living the life I should? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. That's what we see. Because the foolish man, according to this next scripture in chapter 7, is the same man. You see, both of those men built the same house. Both of those men experienced the same storm. Both of those men endured the same problems. And in 2020, the same issues that are affecting the Natalia Church of Christ here are affecting our brethren around the world. But part-time Christianity is not going to cut it. It didn't cut it in 2020. It didn't cut it when the Lord bled and died. It didn't cut it on the day of Pentecost when the church was established. It didn't cut it the next day. It didn't cut it for the Galatians. Remember Paul's word to the Galatians in chapter 3 of Galatians where he says, oh, you foolish. He calls them foolish. Oh, you foolish Galatians. He asks them, who has bewitched you? Part-time Christianity has bewitched us. And it's time that we come face to face with it. It's time that we look at it in the face and we call it what it is. It's lawlessness. It's not love. Oh, please. I know we're human. I get tired. There's times where if my wife were here, she would be able to tell you, sometimes I got to tell Raul, you're not allowed to quit today. I get in those funks. I know you do. Anybody not? You raise your hand. I'll call you out right now, right? We all get in that, right? I'm talking about making it a lifestyle. See, just as like I know how to throw a football, but I'm not a football player. I don't even talk football. I couldn't even tell you, this is on Facebook Live. This is going to be embarrassing, okay? I can't even tell you who played last. I couldn't even tell you who went to the Super Bowl. I can't tell you any of the last couple of years. It's a joke to me, if you ask me personally. But it just doesn't do anything for me. But if I was asked by some of the guys in this congregation, hey man, come on over this weekend, we're going to grill out, and I was to show up, and some of the young boys were in the background throwing a football, right? And one of them was throwing me a spiral, I could catch it, and guess what? I could throw him back. I could throw him back a spiral. But I'm not a football player. Guess what else I'm not? I'm not a sinner. Do I sin? Do I fall short? Yes. Yes, I do. 1 John, the epistle that he writes, he calls us all out on that. None of us can say we're without sin. If we do, we call him a liar. I'm not ready to call God a liar. I do sin, but I'm not a sinner. It's not what I practice. I'm a Christian. Are you? That word Christian is very important. We need to take pride in it. When someone is calling you a Christian, it is the same as calling you a little Christ. The idea there is like a junior. You know, within our Hispanic culture that we have here in Natalia, you might have someone that's a Carmen, and then they're a Carmencita, or a Juan, and they're a Juanito. Okay, right? You've heard this, yes? Okay? That's the same as a junior. When someone calls you a Christian, and they say, you're a Christian, it's because they see Christ in you. You don't get the, I see Christ in you, with part-time Christianity. And so when Jesus Christ called you, remember what he says in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Turn your Bibles there. I know it's probably highlighted. We could probably all quote it. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. And the word go there, it means as you go. And I preached that seminar here, or that day, not seminar, just that workshop day here. And we talked about evangelism. We talked about as you go. That you're not just going to the grocery store for milk. Remember that, church? That you're not really there for milk. You're there because there's souls there. Remember that? Can someone just like at least say amen? I know you don't do that much. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Just nod your head for me. That way I know. Maybe you're taking notes. Maybe not. Okay. All right. But as you go, that's what Jesus is asking us to do. As you go, everywhere, as you came here, as you leave here and you disperse, you think you're really ordering your burger from the burger joint this evening because you want good fellowship and a good juicy burger with French fries and a soda? I've got news for you. You're not there for that. You're there for this. This is what Jesus calls us to. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. I want to pump my brakes on this one for a little bit. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. If I sit here on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, if I even make Bible classes, if I even make Wednesday, and what I observe is part-time Christianity from childhood all the way into my young teenage years, and then my young adult years, guess what I'm going to produce? And guess what I'm going to think I'm doing? I'm going to think I'm carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to think, man, I am denying myself. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, I'm following Jesus. It doesn't get any better than this. And I'm going to have myself fooled because of who I'm observing ahead of me. So not only is part-time Christianity detrimental to you, it's detrimental to them babes right there in the seats because they grow up and they see, they know what's the right thing to do. You'll witness them climb up these steps and into that baptistry and you'll witness them put on Christ. Then they'll come and they'll sit right back here where they were and they'll be part-time Christians. And we'll say that they're faithful. Just like we'll say that we are faithful because we're here on Sunday morning, we're here on Sunday evening, and we're here on Wednesday. All they're doing is repeating what they're seeing me do. Part-time Christianity will have me hearing the same words that the virgins heard. Part-time Christianity will have you hearing the words the virgins heard. Who here wants their child to hear those words? We need to wake up. The church needs to wake up. Who here wants me to hear those words? I need you to wake up. I need to learn to observe all things that Christ commanded. Not some of the things. All of the things. Not so that I can be wise and sit here and quote Scripture for you, but so that I can be what Jesus Christ calls a practicer, putting into practice His words. Full-time Christianity calls for you and I to work all the time. Bump back a chapter, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says, but of that day, verse number 36, and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be coming the day of the Son of Man will be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. How good it must be. I got several years. I hope if my son Benjamin is listening, pump your brakes. I've got several years to see my son married. The Scripture tells us that people were going about their day-to-day business. They were eating and drinking. Oh, whoa. Honey, we're about to have breakfast. We're out of milk. You better go to the store. Go get some milk. That's what was going on in the day of Noah. They were living their life. How many were on that ark? How much space was in that ark? For a moment, will you please look around you? How much space is in this building? How many more souls can be? Part-time Christianity has no place in my life. Noah was not a part-time carpenter for the Lord building that ark. Noah wasn't a part-time Christian. Servant of God, excuse me. But he preached. At least his family was on that boat. What do you think was more important to God that day when all the festivities were going around? Do you think it was the animals in two? Or do you think it was those souls that according to Scripture He had knit together in their mother's womb? We have value. Scripture tells us that we are made in the image of the Lord. And on that day, they were giving in marriage and eating and drinking. Life was going on. And on that day, only 8 entered into the ark. Verse 40. Then 2 men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. 2 women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Listen to Jesus' voice. He's not sitting here telling you a monotone story so that you can fall asleep and wake up at the end of his sermon and pat him as he's leaving and say, that was a good teaching today, brother. He's teaching you with passion. He doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want you to be the one in the field left behind. He doesn't want you. And on the outside of the ark. He doesn't want you to be one of the virgins without enough oil. He wants you on the inside. That was the purpose of Him coming. Before we get to Him, let's listen to His purpose. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "You," he's the angel speaking to Joseph, "you shall name Him Jesus." The word Jesus means Savior, by the way. So His name means Savior. He says, "You shall name Him Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus' purpose is salvation. Tonight's sermon, His purpose is salvation. For those who have not been yet in Christ, you can come to be in Christ this evening and be baptized. That means to be immersed. That means to be lowered down into the waters for the forgiveness of your sins and have your sins washed away. That's the purpose of the Messiah. That's the purpose of this sermon. But it's also a warning that Jesus is teaching here. See, because Jesus doesn't want you to be at the mill and be left behind. Jesus doesn't want you in the field and be left behind. The purpose of Him coming, the purpose of Him being raised up on a cross, the purpose of Him being the Lamb of God was so that you, through Him, could have eternal life and be with God and fulfill His purpose, Ephesians chapter 1. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ, the whole purpose of the church, His body, of being baptized into Christ and being added to His body, is so that you can have salvation. Because He says there in the 14th chapter of John, so that where I am, you too may be. And so here we see that Jesus is warning us in verse number 43, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." There was 10 virgins. All 10 of them expected to go to the party. All 10 of them expected to see the groom. 5 of them were begging to be let in. 5 of them heard, "I do not know you." Where are you tonight? Where's your oil lamp? You slosh it around. Can you hear that you have enough oil? Or are you carrying it around so it looks good, but it's empty? It's so empty that if you were to turn it upside down, not even a drop would fall out. It's so empty that if I was to drop a paper towel inside it, it wouldn't even suck anything up. Are you with the rest of your brothers and sisters in Christ, kind of hoping you'll see the groom come? We don't have to be that way. None of us have to leave here this evening empty. Every single one of us can leave here forgiven. Every single one of us can leave here this evening with a purpose. Every single one of us can exit these doors and go into the world. And every one of us can tell somebody about Jesus. I said the other day, I was speaking with Jesse, I think it was, and he said, if one person was brought to Christ every year by each member here in the Lord's Church in Natalia, every Sunday, you would see this number, and it would no longer be 25. Jesse, I'm sorry, you're going to have to fix these. It would go up. And then the next Sunday, you'd come back. You'd see another person in the baptistry being added to the church. And I can say this with great confidence because Jesus Christ says it. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, got off the boat and looked and took pity on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the Scripture says that He asked for His disciples to pray for laborers because the harvest is plentiful. I know that those numbers can change. You know that those numbers can change, but they cannot change with part-time Christianity. They can only change when you and I together as the church are made right in the eyes of the Lord, asking for forgiveness, asking for guidance, asking for strength. And as Acts chapter 2 ends, so it will be here in Natalia Church of Christ and where I'm at in Riverside Church of Christ in Kerrville. When we act as the church, it will say this, and the Lord continued to add to their numbers daily those being what? Saved. Natalia Church of Christ, are you ready? The community is waiting. If you have not yet been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, I plead you. I plead you to come forward. If you have been baptized into Christ and you have found yourself living a part-time Christian life, you know that there are things in your life that you've been telling yourself every year, I'm going to fix it this year. This is the time. This is the way. This is the year. And you know every year you've been able to do it. Why? Because you're trying to do it without the Lord. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. If we're going to do it with the Lord, we have to do it the Lord's way. So I want to encourage you, be it baptism, be it repentance, be it a prayer for strength, then I ask you to please come forward while together we stand and as we sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair.
When the sweeping realms are gathered over on the other shore, and the Lord is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called yonder.